Good morning to you, or good afternoon, or whenever you are listening to this. This is Baptism and the Gospel. I talked all day yesterday, so my voice is just a little bit raw, but this will go all right. Baptism and the Gospel. Will you turn to Luke chapter 3, please? This Sunday and next Sunday will be on baptism. For our church, mid-June is traditionally church family camp time, and that's where we've usually baptized people. So we didn't have camp last year, and we're not having it this year, but we'll talk about baptism anyway. And I want to do this to invite baptism. If you are not baptized, I want you to think about this and pay attention here. And if you are, then take these scriptures today as describing you and me. These scriptures tell us what kind of a spiritual world we live in and what God has done about it. And they tell us how we came to the Lord. So these scriptures are our story. So let us listen to how the Bible tells our story. We can learn from this. We would not know how to tell our story if it were not for the scripture where God shows us how to understand our story. The four Gospels are all pretty clear that baptism and the Gospel both began with John the Baptist. So we'll talk about the Gospel first, and then we'll get to baptism. So Gospel means good news. In English, the word Gospel means a religious message of some kind usually, but in Greek, it just means good news. And we will start with John the Baptist's bad news. So John preached good news, but he had a troublesome starting point. If you could accept John's starting point, then the rest of what he was saying really was good news. So John the Baptist's troublesome starting point is that the whole human race is on a collision course with God's wrath. The whole human race is on a collision course with God's wrath. Let's get it in John's own words. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say for yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Okay, let me go over some of this again. Who warned you, that would be you and me, to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So he's saying God's wrath is coming. You need to decide to live in God's way, and it needs to show. So repent means decide to live God's way, and produce fruit means there's evidence in your life that you have decided to live God's way. That does not mean that we have become perfect, but it does mean that there have been big changes, and there's evidence of living in God's way. Go down a few more verses, and we'll read more from John. This is Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered all of them, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So one more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So John uses the picture of rotten trees being chopped down and burned and wheat chaff being burned. Those are both fire in a farmyard pictures. But this is a picture of the coming wrath. Coming wrath is not farmyard talk. And the chaff gets burned in unquenchable fire, and that's not farmyard talk either. So, now what's at stake is whether the powerful coming one, who's the Lord Jesus, whether we will be his wheat or whether we will be chaff. So this is not just John the Baptist, and this is not just in Luke's Gospel that talks about wrath and about coming judgment. In Matthew, Jesus speaks of people being thrown into hell, and twice Jesus speaks of people in the furnace of fire, in Matthew 13. And in Matthew 25, Jesus says that he, the Son of Man, the King, will send people into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus speaks several times about weeping and gnashing of teeth in final judgment. So, same with hell and with fire. These are connected to final judgment in one way or another. So, you do not enjoy hearing this, and I do not enjoy talking about it. So we like the good news, but this is the starting point of the good news. The Bible says what the Bible says. And John the Baptist was not the only one who began with bad news. So Jesus taught that God's wrath is on a collision course with the human race. And it's also in Paul's writings and in Hebrews and in Peter and in the book of Revelation. So the Bible teaches that the human race is in deep rebellion against God, and that God is entirely just and fair to send people into eternal judgment. That made sense to the biblical writers, and it made sense to Jesus himself, and that's what they taught. So in Acts we read this of Peter preaching to the crowd. And after his sermon, he says, "With many other words, Peter warned them and pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.'" Okay, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves." So he was calling them to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. But it is because the wrath of God is moving toward the human race that Peter warned them and pleaded with them. Save yourselves. Repent and be baptized. All right. That's the bad news. That sets up the good news. Now, what's the good news? The God who is just and fair to send the rebellious human race to eternal punishment also made a way out. He didn't leave it at judgment. He made a way out. And that is the good news. And that's why it's called good news. And so the way out is his son Jesus. Jesus is the one who rescues us from the coming wrath. So the rescuer is a person. It's a person that saves us. It's a person that rescues us. So living in God's way and being baptized is how we grab onto Jesus and become one of his people. We change from being chaff to be his wheat. And now we're going to look at a few baptism texts in the New Testament. The first one is earlier in Luke 3, and it's about John the Baptist. So we already know what kind of sermon John the Baptist was preaching. So now let's hear what he did with baptism. So at the beginning of Luke 3, this is how Luke summarizes John's ministry. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. John went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. There are three things in that line: baptism, repentance, and forgiveness of sins. And the way it is written, and I want you to note this because it's not how we would usually say it, is that John does not preach repentance or forgiveness. He preaches a particular kind of baptism. John preached a baptism that meant repentance and forgiveness of sins. So repent means decide to live God's way. If someone heard John preaching about the coming wrath, about chaff in the fire, and they wanted to escape, then these three things went together. Baptism, deciding to live God's way, and forgiveness of sins. And for John, this was the right way to respond to his preaching. This is the response God wanted. Be baptized, decide to live in God's way and show it, and receive the forgiveness of your sins. So, baptism is how we tell God we're deciding to live God's way, and we want our sins forgiven. Baptism is not a way of telling people that we've come to God. Baptism is how we say yes to God. Baptism is not a ticket to church membership either. It's good that churches want their members to be baptized, but that's not what baptism is about. There are many baptism scriptures in the New Testament, and not one of them says we are baptized to show something to the people who watch. We are baptized to tell God that we want to live in His ways, we want what He's offering, we want forgiveness. So people will see baptism, probably, but more importantly, they better see evidence that we've decided to live God's way. That is the part that must show. It's not baptism that needs to show. It's the fruit of repentance that needs to show, and they should see that we are forgiven people. So, faith and baptism and repentance are all so that we can be at peace with God. So God has given us a way to make peace with Him and be rescued from the coming wrath. Faith and baptism and repentance are the core of this and how we turn around. So now turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to see how Peter puts this. We've heard from John the Baptist, and now we'll see how Peter puts it, and then we will look at how Paul writes it. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the first Christian sermon. It was about 7 weeks after Jesus died and rose. It was Pentecost. So Peter preached about Jesus being God's Son, the Jesus that the Jews had not accepted as their Messiah. And by the end of the sermon, the Jews were afraid of what God would do to them since they had rejected and killed the Messiah. So here's how we read it. When the people heard Peter's sermon, this is Acts 2:37. When the people heard Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." It sounds a lot like John the Baptist, doesn't it? Repent and be baptized, Peter adds, in the name of Jesus, but repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the greatest gift of all, the Holy Spirit. So the people listening to Peter's sermon want to know, is there any way we can make things right with God? And Peter says, yes, you can. Choose to live in God's ways, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, we're not there that day. We live a long time afterward, but in some very real sense, this is our story. Somewhere we were, at some time, we were in that same position, in big trouble with God, and God sent a messenger who made clear to us the gospel, and He opened our heart to respond. So now we'll look at Galatians 3, one more baptism text, and this one from Paul the Apostle's writing. Two verses from the end of Galatians 3. Galatians 3:26-27. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So there are two lines here, and the second explains the first. Let's start with the first line. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. That's pretty simple. Let's take in Christ to mean being joined to Christ or bound to Christ. So, by being joined to Christ, bound to Christ, you are all children of God through faith. So, our faith joins us to Christ, it binds us to Christ, and in that way we become children of God. So, let's read the two lines together. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. How did we get joined to Christ, bound to Christ? And the answer is baptism. When we were baptized into Christ, we became clothed with Christ, and on that basis we are children of God. Let me read the whole thing again. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So I want you to notice that faith and baptism cannot be separated here. We are children of God through faith because baptism clothes us with Christ. I'm going to say that again. We are children of God through faith because baptism clothes us with Christ. Paul could not imagine a believing adult that was not baptized. If you had faith, you were baptized, and the two worked together. That's how you told God you wanted to live in his ways and receive his forgiveness, and that's how you attached to Christ. So the starting point of the New Testament is the human race rebelling against God, and God's wrath is moving toward us, and it will certainly arrive, and it will be the worst thing that has ever happened on this planet. And God is entirely just and right and fair to send this. So, that's not good, but that's where we are. That's where we were. But God has done two things. First, he sent people to warn us of the danger. Our rebellion is so deep, we don't even see the danger. And people naturally do not know that we're in that kind of trouble with God. John and Jesus did lots of warning, and so did Paul. Listen, we need to be told what kind of trouble we're in. We need to be told that. So that's the first thing. He sent people to warn us. And secondly, God made a way out, beginning with John the Baptist, and centering, of course, completely on his son Jesus. And baptism is one of the things at the center of God's way out. That's how we respond to the way out. So let me just read our scriptures again, and then we will be done. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. When the people heard Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." And in Paul's words, "In Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. For all of us who were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ, and that's how we became children of God through faith." Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, the best thing that could happen to anyone has happened to us. We were in trouble, terrible trouble, and you came to us and you made us yours. And we did not know we were in trouble like that, but you told us, God, and you made a way out. And you sent your son to make a way out for us. And then you sent an unending stream of messengers to spread the good news. And it has come to each one of us, and you opened our hearts so we could receive the message and turn to you. That is our story. O God, all glory and praise belongs to you. Thank you for faith. Thank you for baptism. Thank you for washing away our sins. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. And now, God, we ask for your help to show the fruit of our repentance every week. But mostly, God, we give you glory and praise for bringing us into the gospel. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? To him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages and now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.